from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. Oh, hello. Good morning, Kyle.
A very happy Thursday morning to everybody. It is the best day of the week. Thursday, that's right. I'm fired up. You know another reason I'm fired up? Well, hey, I got a lot of complaining to do. I have so much to complain
about. You got a lot
of
complaining to
do?
Yeah,
I always told myself, because when you're starting in radio, you know, for me, there's some people who get to do it in high school, very jealous of those people. I started in college. And when you start jumping into radio, you start really like, and I'm sure, you know, you listen to radio and stuff growing up, whether it's a music station, maybe maybe in the mornings you're checking out Just in Case on 96.9 The Eagle, or maybe you're listening to the Wake Up Call on 106.5 The End, our sister station here. Maybe you're listening to sports talk radio. Maybe you're listening to Greeny, whatever. Maybe we're the first show you listen to. I don't know. But you start picking up things that you like and you don't like, and you try and kind of form your own, not your own personality, but your own style.
Mm-hmm.
And it's typically going to be a mix and match of your own personality plus these different kind of styles that you've heard growing up. For me, I knew very, very quickly that I did not want to be angry about everything guy.
Oh, okay.
If I'm going to be, I want it, because at some point the anger becomes not genuine. And at some point you're now manufacturing reasons to be upset. I'm a mostly positive person. I typically have a pretty optimistic view of the world in general. Probably frustratingly so for some people. But there are times where there's a stack of things and I'm like, you know what? This is making me upset. I don't like it. And I feel a little ranty and a little ravey.
Okay.
So just know that when we talk about these things today, and it's making me not mad, but, you know, mad, I guess, for lack of a better word, it comes from a genuine place. I'm actually pissed. I'm not making it up.
You're not making it up. Yeah. No. So I've always refused, like, doing this job to be hot take guy. Like, that. Yeah, no. That's not who I am. I you know, like, I'm straightforward. I'm usually brutally honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty optimistic, but I'm also realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just like to kind of like spell it out how it is, like, in my mind.
Sure. Sure. Right. And that's, yeah. You know, some people will say that's what you should do. There are people, I've heard radio guys get interviewed on podcasts and stuff. Guys who have been, you know, successful, and they go, you got to find something to be mad about.
Oh,
and it's typically Boston. It's typically New York. It's Philly. I think that plays there. But I'm with you, man. The hot take thing of, hey, okay, I'm going to look at this story. Let's see. Okay, what story do we have today? Okay, Knicks Pacers. Let's see. What hot take can I have about this? Like, okay, let's see. The FU Reggie chants last night at the Garden. What's the most inflammatory thing I can say? Like, that sounds exhausting. I don't want to do it. I want to be me and come on the radio and just do that. Anyways, just know that as I'm complaining today, it comes from a genuine place.
Okay.
I'm not just making it up. But before we get to all that, we want to give a huge shout out.
Huge shout out.
To Sacramento Kings great, Sacramento Kings legend, Sacramento Kings coach, Doug Christie. It is his it is his birthday today.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to Doug Christie, a legend in Sacramento.
He is a legend. And, you know, the best part about Doug is like what you're just talking about. Everything Doug does is real.
Mm-hmm.
He is on a reality TV show on occasion.
Sure.
But in real life, Doug Christie is one of the most genuine, real people you're ever going to meet.
Yes.
Like, to me, I cherish my times being able to drive in a car with him to and from the studio all the way to San Francisco. We were podcast partners for like 3 years. Just literally like one of the best dudes you're ever going to run into. And like his story is incredible, like fighting into the league the way that, you know, he had a knee injury in college, and then this battle with the Seattle Supersonics when he's first drafted, gets traded to Lakers, gets traded to the Knicks. Like, nothing really is going right. And then it starts to go right because of Isaiah Thomas in mm-hmm. Toronto. And then he really just finds his, not only his basketball home, but his real life home here in Sacramento. So, yeah, what a genuine dude, and just like, happy birthday, dude. Yeah, one of the best.
You know him far better than I do, but just to piggyback off what you were saying, my couple interactions that I had with Doug were professionally, were, and we've talked about this before, at NBC, he was the only like former player analyst who would sit in the newsroom with us and watch games.
Yeah.
And just answer just any question anybody had. We sat there and watched the end of game 6 of the 0-2 Western Conference Finals. Watched the last few minutes of that game and just went through it. And he was down. He just wanted to talk hoop. That was what he wanted to do. Just phenomenal dude. And then when we worked in radio together, he was earlier than anyone else was to their show, preparing more than anyone else did for their show. If he was going to do something, he was going to make sure that he was, if not the best at it, working toward being the best at it.
Yeah, he carries a small green book with him, mm-hmm. and he takes notes all the time. And then he studies his notes. Like, he's very meticulous. Watching him grow as an analyst was incredible.
Yeah.
And getting to watch him grow as a coach, to me, is super fun, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you think you know what you know when you walk into that job, but it's so much more complex, and like, having him work for a guy like Mike is spectacular. And I'm glad he's being able to take it all in. And I, you know, maybe one of these days we'll get our hands on one of his little notebooks and just go through and see his left-handed chicken scratch. Yeah. Meticulous dude.
All right, a big time happy birthday to Doug Christie. All right. That was fun. I want to be pissed about something now. Before we get into NBA playoff stuff from last night, there was so much from that Knicks-Pacers game that we will get into, both in the micro of that game and then the macro of kind of what it means for the NBA and the league moving forward. But this NBA players versus NFL players argument that has now started is the most asinine thing I've seen in the 24-hour news media cycle and the social media era, where everything is on video and everybody's got a take on everything. I think this is the most insane thing that I've seen. So if you've somehow missed it, Micah Parsons said on his podcast with he was talking with CJ Stroud, and somebody asked him if he could score a basket in the NBA. Asked them both, CJ Stroud and Micah Parsons, and CJ Stroud is like, I'd be lucky to get a shot off. Like, I think I could, if I got a clean look, I think I could make one, but getting a clean look would be tough. And then you've got Micah Parsons, who's like, I could put up 20 a game.
No.
And so that's exactly what I said. And then Austin Rivers goes on the Pat McAfee show, and Austin Rivers says that if you put 30 NBA players in the NFL, they would succeed more than 30 NFL players in the NBA. And I just want to say this. Regardless of how you feel on that, the reality of this situation is 53 NBA players making up an NFL team and 15 NFL players making up an NBA team would lose by a freaking 100 points to the worst team in those respective leagues.
Yes.
But without the Washington Wizards might not allow a point against a 15-man NBA team of NFL players.
I'm with you. Like, watching the NBA players, like, there are players. Davion Mitchell could play running back in the NFL. He could probably, maybe there was a time where he could play linebacker too. Like, you watch De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox was a quarterback when he was young, lefty, super quick. Probably would be a wide receiver in the NFL. You know, and some guy, like, I think Harrison Barnes could be a big 6'8" tight end going over the middle.
Defensive end, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, defensive end, but
that's right, but that's just the thing. Is body type, sure.
Yeah.
But if, with all due respect to Davion Mitchell and his athleticism, it's incredible. It is out of this world. He is basically a superhero. If you put him in pads on an NFL field in training camp, he would get cut. Probably immediately.
Oh no, of course. Yeah.
Because it's just you, it's professional. It's professionals who have played this sport for years and trained to play this sport for years and have the mindset to play this sport, and they've been doing it for years. And same thing in the NBA. Micah Parsons wouldn't be able to dribble in the NBA.
No. They would just take it from him every time.
Every single time.
They would just reach in and take it from him every single time.
Before the ball, he could get it on the floor. Before it was back in his hand, it would be gone. Every time. And that's not to disparage his athleticism, and is not to say, yeah, if you get him ahead of steam, maybe he could barrel through somebody and throw the ball at the rim and get it. Maybe. But I also know that if an NBA player decides, like, yeah, hey, you know what? He's not going to score a bucket. He's not going to score a bucket. The same way if Micah Parsons decided, hey, Davion Mitchell is not going to gain a yard on this play, he's not gaining a yard on that play.
Yeah.
They're professionals.
No, I totally get it. I would tell you that Micah Parsons would finish with as many points as Royce White did in his career. That just like, and I think Royce White could have been
zero.
He could have been a defensive tackle easily. Like,
he was a hoss.
Yeah, he's a big man. That guy, he easily could have been a nose tackle. Yeah.
So I'm not naive to the idea that like, oh, these are just professionals. They're all alpha male type of personalities. They think they could be the best at whatever they do. That's part of the reason they are where they are.
Yep.
And I totally understand that. But I want to base this in reality now. Because the reality is, well, nobody would do anything in a different league at all.
Yeah.
That's not to say one is a better athlete, one is better at this, one is better at that. Like, no, there are the athletes are athletes. It's just a different type of athleticism and a different type of mindset to play in the NFL. Same way it is in the NBA. A different skill set to play in the NFL. Same way it is in the NBA.
Yeah.
If you took you said Harrison Barnes, if Harrison Barnes at the age of 10 decided, hey, I'm going to be a really good tight end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a football player. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go play football at UNC and go that route. Then yeah, sure, he has the body type and the athleticism to have been really good at that if he had trained and stuck with it.
Yeah,
I
think Keon Ellis could be like an incredible cornerback in the NFL if he started when he was like 10 years old playing.
No doubt.
Yeah,
no
like
doubt.
Just the quick twitch muscle, the like his length and athleticism, like his ability to like be in someone's space. Yeah, he could have been a defensive back. Without any question.
That'd be fascinating. Because what do you think he is? 6'4"?
Yeah.
I think they announced him at 6'5".
6'3 and a half in shoes, without shoes. So like 6'5".
See, that's the thing. And that's the other thing is you talk body types. Like he just doesn't have an NFL body type.
No.
Like 6'5". That is a massive corner.
No, that's true.
But he's not bulky enough to play like outside linebacker. So he'd just be in a weird spot. And I think that's the case for both of those sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like a defensive tackle body type just doesn't have.
Yeah, like at 6'8", like Eric Armstead, like he's too big to be an NFL player. Like just
an
NBA player. Yeah. So like look at Trey Lyles and then add, what, 40 pounds?
Yeah, probably 30, 40 pounds.
Probably more than that.
Yeah.
What's he play at? Like close to 300, 280, 290?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, and Trey Lyles probably plays at 230, 235?
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It's like, that's a, it's crazy.
Yeah, so I just think, yeah, Eric Armstead listed at 6'7", 290. Like, that's just not an NBA body type, dog.
No.
So, anyway, that just, the more I see that and the more I see that debated, as the NFL player putting his video out, an NBA player putting their video, it's like, relax. You all would fail miserably in the other leagues. Stick with what you're doing. You're great at it.
That's right.
That's okay. Anyways, all right, let's talk NBA playoffs. The Knicks took a 2-0 lead on the Pacers last night. Let's get into some of the micro of that game. We'll get into some of the macro as well. Is Tom Thibodeau going to get somebody killed? We'll talk about it on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Knicks 130, Pacers 121. The Knicks take the first two games of that Eastern Conference semifinal. We'll see about the Jalen Brunson foot injury and the OG Anunoby. I think it was a hamstring is what they officially called it. So we'll keep an eye on those two injuries, but... you know, I got to tell you, heck of an effort from the Pacers last night, or excuse me, the Knicks. A good effort from the Pacers too. But when Jalen Brunson went out, and this is what we talked about a little bit yesterday with KC during the handoff, was how much do you believe in each of these teams to win the title?
Mm-hmm.
And this was my biggest concern with the Knicks, is past Jalen Brunson, they don't really have much offensively. And in that first half, when Jalen Brunson goes down 8.5 minutes in, you saw the wheels just come off for New York. And that is my largest concern with them. It also just continues to prove, I've already said my apologies, so I'm not going to apologize again, but Jalen Brunson is a 1A. Jalen Brunson is a guy who can lead a title team. And they are going to go to the conference finals. And if you had any doubt about how much he matters in that, now you saw in the first half last night.
Yeah, I don't know when the switch went off with him to become this type of player, but it's such a difficult thing to go from a guy who is, you know, a six man sometimes, a guy who starts sometimes, to a guy who starts to gain some traction, to a guy all of a sudden gets a big contract, who can, you know, ends up, you know, averaging 20 a game, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're a star, and you're a star in at the Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you become the star in New York City, which is incredible. And then to just be able to continuously take it to another level, to me, that's the biggest surprise. It's not that, like, these guys, this doesn't happen. Like, this is, like, in the NBA, it really doesn't happen very often where a guy goes from just, like, an average dude to something like extremely special, because if everyone knew he was going to be this good, they would have all been lining up to get him as an unrestricted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. And Dallas would have not lowballed him. They would have given him a massive offer and he would still be in Dallas. But here we are. We're watching a guy who really has created this career for himself. And like, kudos to him for, you know, really being able to ascend,
mm-hmm.
But also to not look at limitations. Like, again, we're talking about a guy who's listed at 6'2", which I don't think anyone believes he is.
Mm-mm.
And just to continuously get better and to become such a leader and such, like, really a star is shocking.
And man, you mentioned Dallas. His last season there, averaged 16.3 per game in the regular season, averaged just under 22. They went to the conference finals that year. He averaged just under 22. But then he goes to the Knicks, averages 24 a game last year, which is, going from 16 to 24 points a game is insane. And then jumps to 28.7 this year. And then just continued it in the playoffs. And it's so clear when they're in crunch time, when they're in a big spot, it's, a get it to Jalen and get out of the way. Whether it's a big three, whether it's getting in the lane and hitting a little floater or a little turnaround jumper, he has every single thing in his bag, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. That's the most impressive thing. When he played in the conference finals in 22, he went, oh, okay, like you said, this is a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely an effective guy, but man, I'd way rather he be out there dribbling around than Luka. I could much rather that. And now, here he is.
I'll tell you, Davion Mitchell told the media, like told us in the media one time, the toughest guy to defend in the NBA without any question is Jalen Brunson.
It looks like a nightmare.
Yeah, he said that he's so low to the ground, at like his center of gravity is so low, and he plays with so much force that when he stops, he clears so much space like instantly. And the guy, like the other career that kind of somewhat looks like this, and maybe not even to this degree, is Isaiah Thomas, Kings Isaiah Thomas, where he goes from being a guy who's undrafted, well, the 60th pick in the draft, that goes to a guy who wins a starting job midway through his rookie season and then ascends to 20 points per game. Mm-hmm. But then you're kind of like, okay, what is he? And he goes to Phoenix and doesn't have a good run, goes to Boston, and all of a sudden they just catch lightning in a bottle. He ends up fourth in the league in MVP balloting and averages 30 a game. And so that's the guy where you're like, okay, undersized guy creates this little pathway for himself. But to see him and just like the moxie he plays with, the confidence he plays with.
So sick.
Yeah, he is so good. And if they lose him for any amount of time, they're going to be in trouble because they don't have like another primary type scorer.
Yeah, you saw it last night. He didn't play in the second quarter because of that foot injury last night. The Pacers outscored the Knicks 37-27 in that quarter. The Knicks in the quarters that Jalen Brunson did play, 36 in the first, 36 in the third, 31 in the fourth.
Yeah.
No Jalen Brunson in the second, 27 points.
It's
against
wild.
Against a bad defensive team. I mean,
yeah, the guy's rolling, man. The guy is absolutely rolling, and like, good for him. Again, yep. Good for him.
Yeah. Hopefully his foot injury is not too bad. On the other side, we talked a lot about Tyrese Haliburton yesterday. Leading into that game, Tyrese Haliburton, very good last night. 34 points, 9 assists. He goes 11 of 19 from the field. He goes 7 of 11 from 3. I wrote down his field goals twice. It's fine. My one quibble with that, like that's a remarkable game, and if he continues doing that, they're going to be fine. My one issue with that, and where the next step I would like to see him take as a player, is in that in the third quarter when Jalen Brunson came back, and the Knicks outscored Indiana 36-18 and really kind of put that game in a vice. It got to two possessions late, but it never felt like New York was going to lose, and they really pulled away in that third quarter. Tyrese Haliburton took two shots. He was 1 for 2. He did have 2 assists. He had 3 steals, a couple of rebounds, 1 turnover, but he was a minus 15. He only scored 2 points. And that's where I would like to see him. We just talked about with Jalen Brunson, how Jalen Brunson, when the Knicks need a bucket, he's like, everybody get out of the way. Give me the damn ball. I'm going to go score it. That's what I would like. That's the next step I would like to see for Tyrese Haliburton. And again, he's in his first real taste of playoff action. So I know there's going to be some growth to happen there, and the jump from game 1 to game 2 is really encouraging. But that's the next thing I would like to see from him is maybe be a little bit more selfish.
Yeah, I think that's always been the knock on him is that he is he's not selfish enough as a player. And it's kind of crazy because like watching him like the build up to the draft with him, he was like super toolsy, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's a great rebounder for a college player, like 5.5 rebounds a game. He's a good assist man for a college player. Like his shot, you kept saying, okay, can he get the shot off? Right? Because it's unorthodox. It takes a while to get a shot off, but you could see how he could score at all three levels, you know, really good in the mid range. And then he gets to the pros and the spacing. Like nobody saw him as an elite 10 assists, 12 assists per game guy. No one. Like if someone tells you, oh, I saw that, like,
liar.
No. Yeah, that's why he went number 12. Now, he should have gone number 5 or number 4. Mm-hmm. He realistically should have gone number 2, where the Warriors were sitting and drafted James Wiseman and loved him, but just couldn't pull the trigger. And then we have this whole middle of the lottery where his agent kind of said no to a bunch of teams. Because they like the opportunity later, whether it was in Phoenix or Sacramento or San Antonio, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. He liked those options better. But like to watch him develop, I just would keep continuously caution people. Like, look, this is he just played his eighth playoff game last night.
Mm.
He's still learning. He's 24 years old. He still needs to get stronger. He needs, you know, like there are things about his game that need to evolve, but he also needs to be a lot more selfish.
All right. I'm right there with you. Let's zoom out a little bit, though. Getting away from player-specific stuff. Shout out to Dante DiVincenzo, by the way. Really good again last night. I want to zoom out a little bit and talk about some of the storylines that are coming out of these playoffs. And I would like to talk to you about Rick Carlisle, who I have always been a fan of as a coach. But the way that he handled his business last night and the way the Pacers are handling their business after these first two games, the Pacers are done. This series is over. I know the first two games have been relatively close, but that Knicks-Pacers series is over. And we'll talk about why next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Hitter.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, welcome back in. That's James. I'm Kyle. That's James and Kyle. Yeah, that's right. We're talking NBA playoffs. Talked a little bit about the specifics of last night's game, but I know not that many people in Sacramento give a damn about what's happening between the Knicks and Pacers on a like minutia level. On the other hand, there's some big picture kind of NBA-wide stuff that I would like to dive into. The first thing, that series is over. Knicks-Pacers is done. The Knicks are going to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I say that not because of necessarily what's gone on in the court. I think the games have been close enough that if you're a Pacers fan, you can talk yourself into, yeah, coming home for two, we can go back to New York tied 2-2. There's been a couple possessions in each game that have kind of really swung things. It was mostly the third quarter last night that really turned that game around. But Rick Carlisle and the Pacers are broadcasting to the world that the series is over. The first thing, Rick Carlisle last night, after the game, blames his small market, blames the fact that they're a small market team on why they're not getting calls from officials, and that was the reason that he said they are not tied or up 2-0 in this series. It's the small market and not the fact that his star point guard scored 6 points and took 6 shots in game one, or the fact that he refused to play T.J. McConnell in the final 7 minutes last night, even though T.J. McConnell was the only player having any success stopping Jalen Brunson. It's not, you know, that Pascal Siakam has been invisible. No, it's the market. It's the market size. And when that is your... That's for the fans to do, bro. That's for people on radio in Indiana to get on air today and go, you know what? The NBA is hosing us because of the market. Like, that's, if that, cool. But for the coach of the team to come out and go, well, the NBA doesn't want us to win, so great message. Great message. I'm sure everybody's fired up to play in game three.
Okay, so here's the problem, first and foremost. The Knicks are a better team than you are.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's the start. Like, they are a better team than you are. And, like, as a coach, you did a really good job of getting your team to score a bunch of points, but you didn't do a good job the entire season of getting them to play defense whatsoever. So you get into a playoff series where defense matters, and you can't stop one specific player who just keeps running right past you and scoring every single time he wants to score.
Mm-hmm.
That's your fault. It's not the fault of the markets or anything else. We had this discussion yesterday. I did yesterday with D-Long and Casey about just how it is that, you know, the NBA must be really bummed out about the markets and about, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that Minnesota is there and OKC mm-hmm. and Indiana, and, you know, they don't have an LA team, they don't have a Chicago team, mm-hmm. they don't have a Miami team, they don't have, their major markets aren't fully represented.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't care. I just want to watch good basketball. And to be honest with you, I don't think the best 8 teams are playing right now, but that doesn't matter. This is the 8 that are there, right?
Yes.
And so I think the quality of basketball is pretty high. I think the next round mm-hmm. is going to be off the charts, like crazy high-level basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I know who's going to be there in the East. I think I know who might be there in the West, but I'm not sure yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care, though. All I care about is that it's really, really good basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think the normal basketball fan... So people say, okay, well, but casuals aren't going to want to watch it in a bar.
Right, that's the argument.
Yeah, because it's not the Lakers. It's like, okay, well, it's still going to be on in a bar, and if mm-hmm. like maybe someone won't ask to have it turned on,
yeah.
but it's still going to be on, and they're still going to be like, oh, well, who's that kid? Like...
Yes, that's the thing that I keep coming back to. When as a fan, you shouldn't give a rip about what the ratings are.
Mm-mm.
That does not matter to you a lick. The hand wringing over it is always insane. Oh, Miami and Denver, nobody's gonna watch that. Okay, so
yeah,
are you? That's what matters. Are you? So, anyways, if you want to say Miami, Denver, I am uninterested in those teams. Okay, cool. Then don't watch. But that doesn't matter to you. But anyways. There's so much star power that's going to be in the final two rounds of the playoffs, the conference championships, and then the finals.
Yeah.
Whether it's Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert or Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving or Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray or Chet Holmgren and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I mean, that's just in the West. That's a lot of star power. And then you can go to Boston is loaded, and you've got Jalen Brunson and the Villanova guys with the Knicks, that Villanova connection. 47 times they said it on TV last night.
Yeah.
Just
you need a little clicker.
I do. The pitch counter.
The Costco clicker. Every time someone walks in the door, click,
yeah, exactly.
Click.
So I it just, you can do that for every single team. It's like, man, there are stars available. And except Cleveland's even got Donovan Mitchell. But Boston's probably going to be there in the finals. If not, it's going to be the Knicks. Like the NBA is going to be fine. If the Pacers were the one seed and the Knicks were the eight seed and the Pacers had won 68 games and the Pacers had won 41 and the Knicks are just winning these games by one or two because of these brutally bad calls late in games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then maybe. Let's talk about it. But like you said, the bottom line is the Knicks are better. There were things Rick Carlisle could have done better last night to put his team in a position to win. They lost the third quarter by 18 freaking points. They scored 16 points in a quarter while allowing 38.
Mm.
No, 36, gave up 36 while scoring 18. Math. Like that's bad. You did a bad job. You were doing a bad job. That should be the focus. And to come out, and I get that he's trying to influence the league and he's trying to influence some calls to go their way. It also came out this morning that Indiana sent 78 calls to the league office from the first two games that they thought didn't go their way. Which is, it feels like a lot.
Look, at some point, like, you have to take responsibility for where you are as a team.
That's
and,
all.
And what's happening.
That's all. Thank you.
And like, look, at the end of the day, like, everyone understands that Indiana's not there yet. Like, you're like screaming and yelling like this injustice, but everyone understands that you're not there yet. Like the Knicks are just like further along in the process. Now you can get there. No one is saying that like Indiana can't get there like ever. This is horrible.
Right.
But you have to understand and you have to be realistic about where you are as a basketball team. Like when like Phil Jackson wanted to complain about cowbells back in the early 2000s series with the Kings. That was just to drum up this, like, he was just trying to play into it. He was, like, having a good time.
Right.
You know, like all of these things that were going on. But that was two evenly matched great teams.
Yes.
Going at it, like, a fierce battle.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is. It's just not. Your team isn't there yet. And Aaron Nesmith could get there. And Nembhard could get there. And, and Halliburton can get bigger and stronger and be ready for it next season. And like you can keep piecing this thing together. Maybe next year they are a team that wins 55 games. But for right now, the NBA doesn't have anything to do with the fact that the better team is winning. Are there questionable calls? Yeah, there are questionable calls
no
in
doubt.
Every game.
No
but,
doubt.
But one team is playing way more physical than the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And the team that's playing more physical keeps winning because they got the memo and you didn't.
That's it. And if we're going to keep it a stack here, for the Pacers specifically, because the exact quote was, small market teams deserve an equal shot. 100%. They totally do. And that's why the CBA is the way it is.
Yep.
So he's right. But let's keep it a stack. If the NBA really, really wanted to influence what teams were moving on that much, and I don't think the NBA is calling refs and going, hey, make sure this team wins tonight. I don't think that's what happens. I think refs just kind of inherently know. And I think refs kind of have inherently in their head, like, hey, this team has cachet. And it's not a conscious thing, like, out of bounds, let's see what team. Oh, wait, I think it's just a subconscious thing. I don't think they're actively trying to move the Knicks on or the bigger market team over the smaller market team. I don't think that's the case. But if the NBA really wanted to do that, the Bucks would be playing in this series.
Mm.
Giannis and Dame would be playing in this series right now. They would have gotten the Pacers out of here in round one, and you would have seen the real influence of the league on those games where Giannis and Dame didn't play. That's what you would have seen. But they didn't. So that's why I have a problem with this, is it's not like I said, I'm not saying that the NBA would rather see the Knicks than the Pacers in the finals. Like 1,000%. Like if you gave every NBA executive truth serum and asked them that, they would tell you, yeah, 100%. Would way rather have New York, LA every single year than any other teams. But they're not going to get that. And so you have to look internally if you're Rick Carlisle and you're just not there. You're just not good enough. And I know he can't say that outwardly, but outwardly saying like, hey, small market teams, man, they deserve a shot too. Denver won the title last year.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, that, and I mean, look at that series too. Like, you could say, this is where I think the argument really, I don't think, again, NBA officials are there to swing like one team into the finals and one team not. But I do think that NBA officials are there to make sure that it's as competitive as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think we're, let's just go to like the Minnesota Denver series. That, like, the officiating in that to me has been horrific. Mm-hmm. Because what's going to happen is not Jamal Murray throwing more stuff on the floor. Somebody's going to get punched.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one to blame in that situation is going to be the fact that you let the temperature in the room raise and raise and raise and raise and raise.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't put the kibosh on it at a certain point. And so I think the NBA, like, do they have a stake in that race? Maybe they do. Like, Ant-Man is a guy they want to ascend.
Yep.
Clearly. And the only way for him to ascend is for him to keep getting him to be on in a bar that nobody cares about and everybody looks up and goes, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just saw that. Who is that guy?
Yep.
Because that's where the rando catches up and goes, wait a sec, who is that guy? Who does he play for? And you're like, mm-hmm. Minnesota. Man, I haven't seen him because he plays in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And then you start like opening up your phone, like, well, now I need to know more about this guy. And that's how the league needs to engage.
Yep.
That might, like, unfortunately for Jokic, the fact that he just won his third MVP yesterday, it doesn't mean he's interesting to watch. Like, for the common fan, someone could be standing there watching the same game and go, man, like, who's the big giant white guy? Well, that's just wild. How is he out there hanging out with the other guys?
Yeah.
Is he any good?
Yeah. Oh, that shot's ugly. Ew.
I can't believe that he just threw that ball off the top, off the bottom of the bottom of the scoreboard, and it somehow went in. You're like, oh wow, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not like excited about the game like you are when Anthony Edwards flies over everybody and dunks, or mm-hmm. hits his shoulder on the backboard because he's jumped too high.
Crazy.
Like all of these things. But I don't think the league is mandating that Denver loses that series. I think the league definitely wants that to be a close series and definitely wants it to highlight the mm-hmm. what they're building. But like, look at a certain point,
Minnesota is kicking Denver in the teeth.
They're just playing so much better.
That's Minnesota number 15 television market to Denver's number 17 television market, yeah. By the way.
Sacramento number 19 or number 20?
Number 20 on this list that I'm looking at. Indiana 25.
Yeah.
All right, it's Indianapolis specifically. Indianapolis, number 25.
Mm.
They are the lowest ranked team left in the playoffs, I think.
Yeah. And look,
oh, no, wait, hang on. Where's Oklahoma City? Oklahoma City's way down here.
Kyle, where is San Antonio? Because I'll tell you, the last thing the league on paper would ever want is for Victor Wembanyama to end up in San Antonio.
Number 31.
Number 31.
With 30 teams in the league.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City, by the way, number 47.
Number 47.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Memphis, when Ja Morant was doing his thing, and number 50.
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
Come on, man.
It's tough.
I get what Rick Carlisle is saying, but at the same time, I promise that's not the problem here.
No.
I promise you that this is not a market size thing. It is a team better than you thing.
Yes. In this case, yes.
That's all. And that's why that irked me. Speaking of big markets, now to flip that conversation to the other side of the coin, I have always hated the phrase, sport A is better when team X is good.
Mm.
College football is better when LSU is good.
Better when Notre Dame is good.
Better when Major League Baseball is better when the Yankees and Red Sox are good. College basketball, Duke and UNC. I have always rejected that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I have always been like, that's stupid. There are so many college teams. There are 30 other or 28 other MLB teams besides the Yankees and Red Sox. There are 31 other NFL teams besides the Steelers or whatever, the Cowboys. That said, I get why people say that now by watching the Knicks. Okay. Watching this Knicks team and watching the way the Garden buzzes and watching the way because you have to understand, the peak of the Knicks in my cognizant life, I only went to the finals in what, 2000?
Ooh.
99? Whatever that was. I was young, 9, 10 years old. So the peak of the Knicks really in my like cognizant life where I was really watching and understanding was the Carmelo Anthony era. Where you looked at that team and went, Carmelo's good, Carmelo's incredible, but that team's not winning the finals. All due respect to Steve Novak, salute. That team's not winning the finals.
Mm.
Like, but that was kind of the peak for the Knicks. So when people go, oh, it's the Mecca and it's this and it's that, and the league is better when the Knicks are good. I never got it. Now I get it now. I see the reverence that people have for the Garden. You see the celebrities come out. And in a way that they're not out in L.A., like when a celebrity comes out in L.A., it's like a photo op. At least that's how it's viewed to me. I know with Jack Nicholson aside, it's like a photo op for most people.
Yeah.
In New York, it's like, no, those are diehard Knicks fans. Like Jon Stewart, Chris Rock, Ben Stiller, Spike Lee, diehard Knicks fans.
Yes.
And Spike has been. Spike's been about that life. But I never understood. And now I do. And this is the first time in my life that I've gotten to the point where I go, oh, I see why the NBA would be better off if the Knicks were good for like a decade. Yeah. I see the pop that has for the league.
Well, I think, and again, you've seen it with the Lakers forever.
Mm-hmm.
So you always see what you're talking about, this star-driven thing. Mm-hmm. But it does feel, I mean, even if like you walk into Staples and people who have never... I suggest everybody try to go to a Kings Lakers game. It like going into Staples is amazing because you really feel for the most part like you're on a Hollywood set. Like the way the lighting is so spectacular. So I'll say like in Golden 1, right?
Mm-hmm.
Golden 1 feels almost like a blue light, right? So I don't know if people like know film, but like there's different types. Even in your home, Golden 1 feels like mm-hmm. like somebody put a bunch of LED lights that are bright, bright white, right?
I don't want to say hospitalish because that's too...
No, but it does have almost that sterile feel, right? You go to Staples and the court itself is lit with like a yellowish light. And then the first like five rows you feel like are lit with that same lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And then it fades to black. And so...
It's so sick. It looks so cool.
Everything else, it really looks like you're on a Hollywood set.
Man.
And everything looks perfect. And stars go there because, damn, the lighting's good and I look good sitting courtside. That's why people are like, man, I look good sitting courtside. In Sacramento, like, you could be at a Costco. That's what the lighting feels like, right? And I think like it's just a different type of crowd though.
Costco?
Well, I mean that's what it is. It's like bright, it's fluorescent, and it has a bluish tint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like everything feels like it's like you're almost washed out. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it is there. And the other thing about that, the media seating there is some of the best in the league. We have an entire corner behind like the visiting bench that we're just right there. Like it's sick. Really spectacular. But that's something that, like, when you get to New York, it has that similar feel, but nobody's cared for so long, you know? Like, the size of the digital board doesn't matter in New York.
Right.
Like, the ceiling is really cool in New York, where Golden 1, you look up, and if you can see that high, which is, like, 200 feet,
mm-hmm.
it's just, like, all, like, it's fireproofing. It's monocoque. And like it just disappears into gray and stuff. It's just not the Garden. The Garden is like spectacular. It's,
mm-hmm.
But for basketball sight lines and everything else, Golden 1 is better.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's sure. But that's where that's the point I've always missed with the Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Is okay. It might not be an optimal basketball viewing experience, but it is because of the environment.
Oh yeah.
And that's again what I've never been able to grasp, and now I do now. And so when somebody goes, well, the league is better off when the Knicks, it's like, you know what? I get it. Like, at least fine if the Knicks stink. Like, it's been, they've stunk for most of the last 50 years. But you know what? Now, I understand. Shout out to the Garden. Shout out to Knicks fans. I'm rooting for you.
Yeah. I kind of want to see it. I want to see. And, hey, the same with Boston. I want to see it. I want to see the Boston-New York series.
Oh, same. Same. Yeah. It's not like, even not even.
I think I know who's going to win pretty mm-hmm. handedly.
Mm-hmm.
But I still want to see the ambiance of it. I want to see, like, because you'll feel it.
Oh,
right?
Big time.
Like, through your screen, you'll feel the game, and that's something that...
There's certain matchups that feel heavy, right? That feel big. Mm-hmm. Niners-Cowboys just always carries a little extra weight just as a sports spectacle to me.
Yeah.
Duke-UNC. Duke-UNC just is different.
Yep.
Red Sox-Yankees, just different. Like, those kind of big-time matchups.
Even, like, Packers-Bears. Like.
Yes. Any NFC North thing just feels a little... That's how a Knicks-Celtics series would feel, but on a massive level because they're playing for a trip to the finals.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
The other thing that happened, the FU Reggie chant that broke out.
That's so New York.
It was perfect, dude. We talked about, like, man, Reggie's already talking trash. What's that environment going to be like? That's why I sat there, and while that was happening, I was like, dude, I've done this a couple other times in my life. One time during Game 7 of the 2016 Finals, they went to break late in that game, and I was like, this is just peak sports. This is why sports are the best thing. And last night, I'm sitting there on my couch, and I'm watching Knicks fans just rain down FU Reggie chants on Reggie Miller. And I'm like, dude, this is why this is the best thing. This is great. And Reggie was loving it. Reggie had a great, I mean, at least he outwardly was. I'm sure internally it doesn't feel great. But he rolled with it, leaned into it. He took a picture with Spike Lee with the newspapers from his 8 points or 8 points in 9 seconds.
Yep.
They had the newspapers and they, you know, taking pictures. It's like, dude, that is incredible. That is history of the game brought to right now with a lot of the same fans and the same characters from that major moment in league history. Like, God, I couldn't get enough of it. I hope there's a game 5. And I hope Reggie Miller's on the call.
That would be phenomenal. I mean, I think it is amazing to see New York in this situation. And, like, again, the only time I've been there was for All-Star Weekend. And I think I've told you this, like, All-Star Weekend, I was hanging out with Basketball Jones, like, J.E. Skeets and Raj, and, like, where I was standing with them. And I'm like, hey, there's Ben Stiller. Because we're, like, in a media area.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, where? And I'm like, he literally is, like, from me to you right now.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Ben Stiller
yeah.
was there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, he's right there. And they're like, I don't see him. So I, like, move him over. They're like, oh, my gosh, he's, like, right there. Next to us. They're like, that's Ben Stiller. He's right there. I'm like, he's right there. And
right
then,
there.
Like, I go to walk to down the tunnel to go to my seats.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, like, Christina Aguilera and Queen Latifah walk by me. And I'm like, what in the world just happened?
Gravity, dude.
But that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's New York. Yeah. That was, like, the quintessential New York experience, going to the Garden. I could see it all in one giant, like, I can't believe this is happening.
It's like when you walk out of the tunnel, like Golden One, and Lance Woods walks by, you're like, oh, dang.
Hey. Lance. Not to disrespect
Feel the gravity
Lance.
Of this. I love Lance.
I love,
what a great person.
Yeah.
Last night was the turning point for me of, I understand why this is a big deal now.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, I've been to games at Arco and Golden One and Oracle Arena and Chase Center. It's different. And I never understood it. But last night was the turning point in my head.
Well, and in game one, weren't the Yankees sitting courtside?
Yes.
And didn't I tell you
Nestor Cortez, Gleyber Torres.
Could you imagine?
Not Gleyber Torres.
The Yankees sitting courtside at Golden One. While they're in a 3-game series against A's across the street, and they're staying right next door.
Yeah.
And I know that's crappy, but that's why that can matter. You got a 3 o'clock game or a 12 o'clock game that ends at 4 and everybody's done and, like, coming out to a Kings game. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah. You know? No doubt. the New York Yankees are going to turn Golden One into Madison Square Garden.
That's right.
All right. I want to talk more about this. I have some other thoughts.
Okay. I'm here for this.
Oh, max contracts. Zach LaVine. That's right. Okay.
Let's do it.
That's what I want to do next. The way teams are building is changing.
Yes.
All right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.